Amen. All right, guys, I'm back here tonight for midweek Bible study here with us at Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. We're just going to go over some quick announcements, and we're going to go ahead and continue in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Acts. So if you can do me a favor, go ahead and open up your Bibles with me to the book of Acts, chapter 27, just to get ready as we continue together in our verse-by-verse study. I sure appreciate those of you who were able to show up tonight. It is a blessing to see the saints come together. Anytime the church doors are open, I believe that all Christians everywhere should be where they're assembling at, being faithful. And I thank you for those of you that are here being faithful. It is an encouragement. So just some quick announcements before we get started. Every other Thursday, we like to go downtown to Solwyn. So tomorrow is our every other Thursday off. So tomorrow is our Thursday off. We will not be going downtown to the Sunset Outreach. This Friday, we'll be here. This Saturday, our evangelism outreach is also canceled. We're going to be taking a church trip up north to La Puente. If you would like to join my wife and I for a fun time of ministry and fellowship with our church friends in La Puente, I would like to encourage you to join us and just let my wife and I know so we could plan accordingly and we can carpool. But we're planning on leaving Oceanside around 6 to 6:30 in the morning so we could be up there early. It's going to be a fun time of serving the Lord with our church friends up there. And also, if any one of our church members would like to go with us, it'll open up your eyes to other great church ministries that are taking place in other areas, if you will, wherever that might be at. And it'll open up your heart and your mind to get to know new friends, introduce you to new people, and also to stir your heart for ministry opportunities that otherwise you might not have if you don't go on these church trips. So I just want to encourage you, whenever we have those opportunities, if you're not working and you want to get out, if you will, please join us on these cool in-house mission trips by just going to another church and getting to know different people. Lord willing, we'll be back here this Sunday. Another announcement is at the end of the month, the 29th, that's going to be the last Sunday of January, I've been invited with our church family to a Bible conference in Corona, California. So if you would like to go with my wife and I want to encourage, again, our church members to join us when you can, so you can continue to grow with, if you will, and also fellowship to get to know other churches that have a heart for me, have a heart for you, just want to be a friend to you. So please, if you don't have anything planned on the 29th, the last Sunday of the month, let me know. It sure would be a blessing to get our little church members to go with me on these trips to meet other churches, to fellowship, get to know some new friends. And my wife and I will be going the next Monday on the 30th on their Monday night as well. I'm looking forward to fellowshipping with another brother named Corey. He just came back from a mission trip to, I believe it was Africa. And what was crazy, guys, is one of their young ministers in the Lord serving over there in Africa had passed away. And he passed away while he was being a missionary. So there's nothing greater than serving Jesus and going out serving Jesus. He didn't die, if you will, because of getting high or getting drunk or anything like that. He passed on to glory while he was serving. Unfortunately, got a disease out there. But you know what, guys? His labor is not in vain in the Lord. So again, I just want to encourage you, church, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done in life, and no matter what you, if you will, aspire to do, just remember there's nothing like serving God, because in the end of the day, eternity is not about how much money you made down here. It's not about how you dress down here. It's about what you did for Jesus Christ while you were here on this earth. How did you use your funds to further Christ's kingdom? How did you manage your family time to further Christ's kingdom? So let's continue to be mindful of that so we can be spiritually minded for this year to do more for him as each year and as each day passes on, as we see the Lord's drawing nigher to us to rapture us out of here. Amen. Okay, so those are the announcements. And with that said, let's go ahead and go to it right now. Acts chapter 27. Hope you have a Bible open. Let's go ahead and read through the chapter. We only got about 44 verses. We'll read through it first, and then we'll begin to go through our notes, and we'll see how the Lord can minister to us this evening as we open up his word tonight. Amen. All right, guys, hope you guys have your Bible open. Acts 27, verse number 1. When it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, and entering into a ship of Armatium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Remember, we talked about that last Wednesday. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed unto Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found the ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when he had sailed slowly many days, when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens. Nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved wasn't taken away. I'm just going to pause there, but as you guys can see, Luke is so detailed about the storm and everything that they're going through in a physical manner, if you will. He's describing the tempestuous winds. He's describing the sea. He's describing the condition of the boat. He's describing the condition of the hearts of men. So look at how he is, if you will, reminding you of this, because he was a first eyewitness to going through this tempestuous time, this storm, with Paul, his companion, as they're on their way to Rome. All right, let's continue. Verse number 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And, lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That's going to be our theme verse for this evening. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. The fearing lest we could have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. So if you guys can imagine, they're getting close to the land, right? They don't want to crash. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship, 216 souls. How many is that? Anybody? 200? 3 score? 20, 40, 60 plus 16? 276. How about that? That's a lot of people that were traveling together in the ship. Okay, verse number 38. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship. They knew not the land. And cast out the wheat into the sea. Verse number 39. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into the which they were minded, if it were possible to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves under the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward the shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Again, look at how Luke is giving you guys so much detail to help you to have an imagination of everything that they were experiencing, the emotions and the physical environment during the storm. Verse number 42, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. Remember, this is Roman law. If the Roman guards let any of their prisoners escape, they would get killed. That's their legal duty. All right, verse number 43. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. How about that? So, hope you guys are following along with me now. Let's come back to verse 1 and we'll pray. Father, once again, I thank you for tonight. I pray that you would help us to focus now, Lord. I know some of us are tired from a work week and everything else that life has given us thus far. Tonight, Lord God, as we gather as saints, not much in number, God, but that's all right. We have you and you're sufficient for our joy this evening. I pray your Holy Spirit would prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. And I pray, God, that you would help me. Aside from my human delivery, where I might have a human error, oh God, I pray your Holy Spirit would still minister to every spirit individually, bring encouragement where it's needed, bring conviction where it's needed. But ultimately, God, before we leave these doors, help us to get something from this tonight so we could change our lives to be more like you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you, we trust you, and we pray for the rest of our evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, so verse number 1, Acts 27. Remember how we talked about this a little bit last week? When it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. So remember, Paul is on his way to Rome now. This is it. If you will, his ministry is coming to an end. As you guys can tell physically in your Bible, we are already in chapter 27. There's only one more chapter in the book of Acts, and that's the end of the history of the Acts of the Apostles. So as he is on his way now to Rome, he appealed to Caesar in chapter number 26. But remember, there is someone still working in the background to fulfill the purpose for which he saved Paul for that he is going to accomplish. Turn your Bible quickly with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And let's read together in verse number. Look at here with me in Acts chapter 9. And come down with me to verse number 15. When Jesus appeared to Ananias, he tells Ananias the purpose for which he is going to use now Saul of Tarsus, a man who before was not a Christian, a man who before had a desire to destroy Christians because of his hatred towards the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Remember, he was an Orthodox Jew. He was the most zealous Hebrew you can find, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he'd said. And here's what the Lord said to Ananias, a Christian, concerning what Saul's purpose would be. He says in Acts 9, verse 15, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Look at 16. "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Now, I want you to remember what I taught you many, many months ago. This is the particular calling and ministry for this man, Saul of Tarsus. Jesus is going to make Saul suffer for his name's sake. A lot of us are not necessarily going to have to suffer for Christ's name's sake, but you never know where your lot might be concerning Christ and the purpose for which he wants to use you to glorify his name through you. So when you became a Christian, you have to remember, you are no longer your own. That body belongs to him, those eyes belong to him, that spirit belongs to him, and he wants to use you for his purpose to glorify his name through you. Now, I'm not trying to prophesy tonight by telling some of you that you're going to go through difficulties and some of you will not. All I'm here to tell you is that when you signed up to be a soldier in Christ's army, the future does not promise you happiness. The future does not promise you life is going to be okay all the time. There's never going to be a storm that you're going to go through in life. No. As a matter of fact, quite the contrary. The Bible actually warns you now as a Christian that you will suffer some things, but on one condition: if you're living godly for Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hope you have a Bible open, and I hope you're following along with me this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to see now from whom you're going to get the encouragement to continue. It's not going to be for me. It's not going to be from the person sitting next to you, because they too are a person of like passions. When tough times happen, one of you will feel the, if you will, need to want to give up on God and want to give up on church. But can I remind you tonight, church, there is someone who is going to be with you every single day. There's someone who will not leave you nor forsake you. And if you just trust God, he will lead you all the way and fulfill the purpose for which your salvation now in him is to be fulfilled, and glorifying his name through you as a vessel to help someone hear about him. That is the good news for your life. Look at with me now in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse number 11. Paul is writing to Timothy, and here's what he tells him. "Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured," but look at that last part. "But out of them all, the Lord delivered me." You know, that is very, very contrary to modern day Christianity. A lot of us are used to Bible conferences. A lot of us are used to hanging out with the big churches or the small churches and just having fun all the time. You know, you got your same Bible use, you got some similar dress styles and similar music, and it doesn't really seem like any one of us are really being persecuted for being a Christian. But what I want to remind you of is this: the Lord will use you for a purpose that he is going to bring you through that particular purpose. He will deliver you through it as he glorifies his name through you. You just got to trust him. And I'm here to remind you tonight, church, that being a Christian does not set you apart or, if you will, protect you from afflictions, from persecutions. As a matter of fact, it comes with your salvation. Look at verse number 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." But did you notice the condition? Living godly. If you're living carnally, you're not going to suffer persecution. If you're not doing anything for God, you're not going to suffer persecution, because the devil or devils are obviously not offended by your life of obedience that you're going to continue to serve the Lord in by wanting to tell someone how to be saved. If you're not consistently in active, that is active obedience between you and God, no wonder why there ain't nothing much going on in life, because you're not a threat. It's only when you're living a godly life in Christ, you're being a threat to the enemy's kingdom. That's when perhaps you're going to begin to see some strife, some afflictions come your way because you're being a Christian. I'm not talking about how you mismanage your money and all of a sudden, you know, certain things happen. That's just called life. I'm not talking about getting a flat tire on the side of the road and all of a sudden, you know, oh man, why me? No, that's just called life. We're talking about Christian obedience. We're talking about you yielding your life in such a manner that you are being used by God to actively be telling people how to be saved, being active in your local church to be a help there, serving God, living godly. You're going to go through some tough times. And I want you to see, as you can see, as Paul is on his way to Rome, he went through some tough times. He wasn't alone, though. Let's go back to Acts 27 in our base text. Please follow along in verse number 1, Acts 27. Remember where we left off last Wednesday? We talked about a couple of friends, companions that Paul had to his minister. That is, men ministering to him throughout this time. Look at verse number 2. We launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. Remember I showed you guys how he was mentioned a few times in the Bible? He was identified as a fellow laborer. Remember that? He was identified as a fellow prisoner. Do you remember that? And I just gave you guys some application today here, if you will, serving with me in church and ministry and following me in ministry, that at times we never know when we might go through something for the sake and the cause of Christ. But notice, he did not give up. When Aristarchus got saved, I'm pretty sure he went through some difficult times. I'm pretty sure he has seen, if you will, Paul at his high and Paul at his low, but he didn't give up on Paul. Tonight, can I encourage you? What's going to help you to stick it out through the storm is if you don't lose heart for Christ, because Christ will not lose heart for his people. And if you don't lose heart for Christ, then you're not going to want to give up on those around you. It only happens when you begin to lose your heart for Christ that you're going to reason yourself into wanting to give up on his disciples, which is you and I and those of us that are around you. All right, so here we have Julius, the centurion of Augustus' band. We have the other prisoners, as we saw earlier in verse 37, about 276, including Paul, Luke, and Aristarchus. They're traveling now in these boats to get to Rome. It appears at some point they all began to fast, that is, restraining from eating food. Some of the commentaries say perhaps it was because of the Day of Atonement, some obviously remembering the laws there as Jews in certain things, and yet even though they're prisoners, they're still honoring their cultural customs. Isn't that unique? Or for spiritual reasons or what have you. But nevertheless, that's going to play a huge part later on in this chapter. In verse number 9, it either started here or they began fasting sometime before, and they all willingly continued to fast for 14 days later on. Look it with me in verse number 8. And hardly passing it, it came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. The Fair Havens is a harbor on the island of Crete in the Mediterranean, and today is still identified by that, if you will, if you speak Greek and you look it up, if you will, that's what is known there on that harbor side. And so they're passing by. And all these details that Luke has given you is very detailed of where we went, how we got there, here's what the time was like, here's what the day was like, here's how the hearts of men were like. He's giving you a lot of good detail. And by the way, Luke, being a doctor, he's known for his intellectual handwriting, if you will. Peter's letters and John's, they're real, if you will, easy to read. Luke, as a scholarly man, as a doctor, he is very intricate in his details. So that's why you get a lot of these kind of, you know, wordings like, oh, that was this and this, because Luke was just that kind of a man. So Julius, if you go back earlier to verse number 1 and 2, he was a centurion of Augustus' band. A centurion is a Roman officer, but this particular man, he didn't necessarily work for the local police station there, if you will, in Judea or Caesarea. He was working for Augustus. If you can imagine, we have the president, and then you have the secret service and those that are close to his authority. Here we have Julius, who was for, if you will, he was working directly under Augustus Caesar and his band. So he had to take even more responsibility to make sure that this man, Paul, got there safely as well as the other prisoners because of their sentencing. So by this time, Paul had already much experience traveling by ships. Look with me to Acts 20. We'll just review a couple of these. Verse number 13. The Bible says here, "And we went before to ship and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot." All right, look at Acts 21. Keep yourself in Acts 20. Look at verse 38. "Souring most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship." Look at chapter 21, since we're in the neighborhood, and look at verse 2 through 6. "Finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went abroad and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden," or to unload, if you will. You know, what's also interesting is that Paul had also suffered on previous trips before, whether intentionally or not, God knoweth. But let's go now to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 to see how Paul is experienced in sailing by ship at this time in history. And obviously, he has experience. So when he would tell the Julius, "Hey, this is what I'm recommending. You got to stick it out, right? Don't let no one just dip out of the ship or else they're going to die." You know, he has some experience. That's all I'm trying to point out to you tonight. But now, in this particular case, this was for the cause of Christ in ministry. Look with me in 2 Corinthians 11 and turn your Bible to verse number 23. 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 23. The Bible says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure," that means like whippings, right? "In prisons more frequent," so Paul, he was often arrested. "In deaths oft," he came close to dying many times. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." How many is that? 39. Can anybody do me a quick favor on your calculator? Can you put 39 times 5? What is the answer? Anybody have a phone real quick? They can do that. What is 39 times 5? 195 lashes. 39 times 5? What is it? Yeah, 195. Okay, before we keep reading the narrative, how many guys would have given up just by getting whipped one time on the back? Anybody would have given up by just getting whipped one time? Okay, some of you are tough. How about 2 times getting whipped on the back? Would you guys already call it quits? Okay. Guys, 195 times Paul said, "This back, it's been whipped. Those guys who are claiming to be something for Jesus, I'm more than that. I'm more than what they're claiming. I got the back to prove it." Keep that in the back of your mind as we move forward. Notice what he says here in verse number 25, "Thrice was I beaten with rods." So the man gets whipped and lashed 195 times. He gets beaten 3 times with rods by men. So far, sound fun being a Christian? Paul wasn't going to Bible conferences, guys, by the way. He wasn't going to any marriage conferences. He wasn't doing everything that you and I do, modern day speaking. He wasn't traveling with a car, with AC. He, if you will, didn't have the luxuries that you and I have. But he has a love for Jesus. That's what we don't have today. And I'm right there with you. I need the Lord to help me. Look at what he says in verse number 25. "Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered," what does it say there? "Shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep." Now, I know you've seen the movies, you know, little YouTube clips here and there about a guy who's just floating out there in the sea somewhere and he gets rescued, right? You heard those stories. I've been watching these past couple years. Some dude just gets stranded. You know what Paul said? 3 times I already suffered being shipwrecked. That is the ship literally being destroyed, you know, by rocks or some type of, if you will, encounter, and the ship begins to collapse. 1 time, all by himself, he was just out there, floating out there until he got rescued. Did you know that about Paul? And some of us get offended because someone doesn't acknowledge us at church. Some of us get offended because you don't get called or no one. I'm telling you guys, we are so weak. You and I are so emotional compared to a man like this, all right? Let's keep reading together. I'm already being convicted. Look at what the Bible says here in verse number 26. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. I don't think any of you guys have been robbed lately, but Paul was. Look at here, in perils of mine own countrymen. How about your own people in the flesh? I don't think so far any of you have been persecuted by Mexicans. I don't think any of you have been persecuted by Americans, amen, but Paul was. In perils by the heathen. Those are just general Gentiles who know not God. In perils in the city. It's not like every time you and I go downtown, all of a sudden there's a mob that wants to beat us up. No, we don't go through that. But some of you can't even get out there. And yet Paul was desirous to keep going publicly to be a preacher. Wow. Look at what he says here. In perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Whew. Look at verse 27. In weariness. I know some of you get tired. But let's be honest tonight, brother and sister, let's be honest, like it's you and I. You're not getting tired for the cause of Christ. It's just your flesh. It's just life. It's just things that come your way and you get yourself involved in that robs your time of serving God. Here's a man who's dedicated to God. He has nothing else to do but to work with his hands, right, to provide for himself. He would work to provide for himself, but also for the church. But notice, he's been wearied, guys. Look at what it says in 27, pain. He's gone through pain. I mean, 195 whips, being beaten 3 times. Guys, he knows about pain. In watchings, often, he knows how it feels to be hungry, not eating, and being thirsty. Look at here, in fastings, often, in cold and nakedness. Can you believe Paul? Sometimes he didn't have a sweater. And y'all are getting hooked up with free shirts and free sweaters? Come on, guys. Y'all have so much clothing. How about that? But here's what I like most about this, guys, and here's where I'm convicted. Look at verse number 28. But those things that are without, that means outside of himself, outside of his body, look at what he says. That which cometh upon me daily. Can somebody read the last words? The churches. Wow. While he was getting beaten, while he was shipwrecked, while he got robbed, when his own people, the Jews, came against him, when Gentiles wanted to beat him up and threaten his life, you know who he was still caring about? You. He would still think about you. He would still pray that you're being faithful to church. He would still hope and pray that you were being zealous to want to go evangelize. He would still pray that you, if you're in Ephesus, that you'd be faithful to Pastor Timothy. If you were in Crete, he would be praying that you'd be faithful to Pastor Titus. If you were in every other church that he's planted or been a part of, he would be thinking that every member he met, had a chance to baptize, was being faithful to that little church wherever they were going. We're far from it. No doubt personal persecution was the antecedent to these things, but 3 times suffering shipwreck? Wow. As I've already said, shipwreck just means the destruction of a ship or a vessel by being eased ashore or broken to pieces by beating against rocks. Brother and sister, can I remind you of a sobering truth? Jesus Christ commanded you, and when I say this, not me, but here's what he tells every single one of us. He tells us, follow me. That's what he wants us to do, is to follow him. He did not explain what the condition of the weather might be like on your way to church. He did not explain the condition or the weather of your personal discipleship, work, or service. Christ did not broadcast your climate weather, both in or outside of church. He did not give you a supernatural dream before you came, as to the scenario of each person that you're going to face on your way here or at work or family in serving him. You know what he told you to do? Follow me. I just want to remind you this here, friend. To follow him, one thing is for certain. Jesus Christ will get you safely to the other end or the other side where he said that he would take you. But of the conditions of how he'll get you there, that's where faith needs to motivate you and guide you, not your sight. Brother and sister, until you start walking by faith and not by sight, you will not want to give up on God. But if you continue to establish your level of involvement by sight and rather than faith, you will want to give up on God immediately. Some of you have already entertained the thought of quitting on God already. Why? Well, because you saw someone else do it, and life still seems to be going well for them. Brother and sister, do not quit on God. Don't quit on your pastor. Don't quit on your church. When life in this world begins to create resistance against you because of your obedience to the things of God, people have left your church before, not because of doctrinal matters or heresies or things pertaining to the faith. People have left your church because when life in this world or whatever it was for them drew them, it was an excuse for them not to be faithful and obedient to Scripture to endure hardness. Why? Because it's easy to use me or someone as an excuse because you and I are not looking at Jesus Christ directly in the face to tell him why we should stop serving him and serving his people. You know that? Have you ever thought about that? It's easy for you and I to give up on each other because you're not looking at Christ in the eyes. If you were looking at him directly in the eyes and he would look and pierce you deep down in that soul, you would not want to give the reason to your pastor or a church member and say, oh yeah, this is why. And no, if you look to Christ, you would say, my Lord, I am sorry. You are so good. You're so precious. These people are precious to you. And God, you are so loving and so benevolent and so merciful. You don't leave me. You don't forsake me. How can I desire to even think about leaving this church? Think about leaving them or think about not being here for you or supporting you. I'm just telling you, I am guilty, I'm Brother Moat, of wanting to quit on God and quit on you. So tonight, what can we learn from here? People, again, have left your church because when life in this world and whatever it drew them, that was their excuse not to be faithful and obedient to the Scriptures to endure hardness, because it's easy for them to use me or someone else as an excuse because they're not looking directly at the face of Christ to tell him, this is why I'm not going to serve you or your people. Can I remind you of how a true follower of Christ responds to difficult times in life and even with Christians? Look at 2 Corinthians 11 again. I hope you have your Bible open. Look it with me one more time in verse number 28. Beside those things that are without. You know what Paul just said? Yeah, you know, after I got beat up 3 times. Yeah, you know, after I got beat, you know, 195 times my back whip. Yeah, you know, when they robbed my money because I was on my way to church, you know, when I just finished making tents, you know, working with my hands, laboring so I can just be a blessing. Oh yeah, you know, when my fellow Jews, you know, they were coming against me. Oh yeah, you know, when those Gentiles that I'm trying to preach and reach to downtown publicly, you know, when they wanted to threaten to beat me up. Yeah, you know, when I was hungry, I didn't have nothing to eat. You know, when I was thirsty, I didn't tell nobody. When I came to church anyways, and they thought that I was doing all right. Yeah, you know, when I didn't have a sweater or a shirt sometimes because of me after getting beat up. Oh, you know, after I got shipwrecked and all that. Yeah, you know what? All that other stuff. There's something deep down in me that I still care about. Look at what he says in 28. That which cometh by me daily. Let's say it again together, church. The care of all the churches. Look at brothers in verse 29. Who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who's offended and I burn not? Are you kidding me right now? Brother and sister, you want to give up on me? And yet Paul went through worse things than your feelings have gone through in our little time of getting to know each other. You really want to give up? You know who's been more offended than anyone on this planet right now as a obedient servant of God? It was Paul. Guys, look at what he said there. I still care about my church. Even though I got beat up, even though I got rocked, even though I got robbed, even though I was hungry, even though sometimes I had to deal with false Christians, even though sometimes I had Christians leave my side, even though people that I've discipled and raised up and baptized, they left church, they stopped following me, they stopped wanting to be obedient to Christ, I still care about them. And you and I entertain the thought of wanting to quit on God and quit on your church because of your feelings? You think Paul didn't get his feelings hurt? You think Paul wasn't offended by carnal Christians here and there? You don't think he felt disappointed in those he discipled, trained for ministry, and would leave his side for whatever reason? He did. But there was someone else that Paul looked to constrain those feelings when they came. And when he looked to that man inside him gave him the strength to keep loving people, forgiving people, teaching people, because that was the love of Christ in him. Guys, you're going to go through storms. You're going to go through difficulties. And sometimes your ship will be destroyed. But if you can keep your heart on the Word of God, and you can believe God tonight, even when your spouse may not, even when your family members may not, and their examples don't meet up to par, you still have someone that you can look to for an example. Who's that? You got the scriptures, you got your apostles, and most of all, you got your Savior in you. Look at with me in 2 Timothy 4. I'm just going to show you now that this is a reality, that we're not the only ones. And churches, since the beginning of the church history, there are going to be a lot of churches like yours that will start small, grow up and down and all around. Members come and members go for whatever reason. I just want to let you know that that's a part of life. And you never know who it might be. But I'm just telling you, Paul didn't stop caring for the church, even though the church would stop caring for him. Look at with me in 2 Timothy 4, verse number 16. The Bible says here, "At my first answer, no men stood with me," look at their church, "but all men forsook me." Wow. What a great soul winner some of us hear about Paul, huh? What a great teacher you guys hear about from people online. Yeah, but nobody had his back. They left him. They walked after their flesh. They let the storm sink him down in that ship with the cargo and everything else going on in life. So before you think about giving up, can I remind you? Paul didn't give up. Christ in him gave him the strength to not give up. Christ is in you too. If you keep your heart on Christ, you will not give up on God and you won't give up on me. But when you start giving up on Christ, no wonder why you entertain the flesh a little bit more and a little bit more. And before you know it, someone comes along your way, the enemy puts them there. And before you know it, you'll forsake. Look at what he says. "I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding," verse 17, "the Lord stood with me," and look at their church, "and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Paul got through the storm. The ship, it was about to sink them all. Remember that in Acts 27? But Jesus preserved his life for what purpose? To glorify his name through him as a vessel. Tonight, you're still physically alive because Jesus still wants to use you to glorify his name. He wants to use your life to tell someone about Jesus, and then he wants to use you to be a benefit and the best church member at your church that you can be. But you can't take your heart off him. And when you start seeing others around you little by little start doing that, you don't have to follow their example. You can keep your heart steadfast on Christ. Almost done. Go to verse number 10, 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Remember, that's Aristarchus, that's where he's from. Christians to Galatia, Titus, unto Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You already know, many a time, there has been some difficulties that have come my way. You already know, many a time, it hurts to see when people leave our church for whatever reason they give me. It's 99% no doctrinal thing that they can bring up to me to say, Brother Carlos, here is some doctrinal heresy that I didn't know. It's literally not doctrine. It's just a fault. It's something else. And there have been many a time that I've been wanting to give up on God, and as obviously the result would be that it would be given up on you because, and then I begin to measure everything out and I begin to put in all the excuses. But you know what I'm reminded of when I meditate upon the scriptures, not on my feelings? By the end of Paul's life, when he writes to Timothy, you know what he said? They bailed on me. Man, Demas, he done booked it. Demas, he was like this with Paul. Only Luke stuck it out. Can you believe that? Timothy is still faithful. He's writing to him. He's crying, though. Titus, he's still out there holding it down. Eventually, he gets killed, church history tells us. But can I just encourage you? Even though you start with family and friends with you, egging you on, the only one who's going to strengthen you on the inside is Jesus Christ. Your family members will not do that for you. Your favorite people you like to listen to online, they will not do that for you. Only Christ will do that for you on the inside. We're all going to go through a storm. The question is, are you going to have the one who can calm the storm, calm your heart down through it? Almost done. What's some good application that we can draw from Acts 27? Someone has to make it to Rome. Someone has to endure hardness. You're in 2 Timothy 4. Go to chapter 2 with me. Just a couple of pages to the left. It's good to hear those pages turn, amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look with me here in verse number 3. Are you happy to be a Christian? Anybody here tonight? Anybody happy to be a Christian? Okay. Look at verse number 3. Thou therefore, those of you who raised your hand, endure hardness as a good soldier of your pastor. Is that what it says? Oh, let's read that one more time. As a good soldier of your church. Is that what it says? Mm-mm. As a good soldier of who, church? Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. There are some people God wants to send to Rome. There are some people that God wants to use to reach others and to use us to reach together. That was purpose for us to do, that is, to do it together. But when you quitted or are thinking about quitting before, believe me, Christian, you can ask my wife how many times I felt like giving up. You don't know who Christ desires to use you for to help you. I'm sorry, to use you for to reach. But you know who can keep you going? Jesus. I just want to remind you in love tonight, being a Christian is not all about the exciting emotions. It's not all about the, man, that was a good word, and man, I'm just pumped up and excited. No, being a Christian is enduring hardness, is enduring difficult times. It's enduring your church member and the faults of your pastor and the faults of your own self and giving it to Christ. That way you can still continue to come and still be the best that you can be around those who you serve with. Let's go back now to Acts 27, verse 23 through 25. You know who will keep you going? You know who will keep you floating even though that ship will break? Jesus Christ, in a spiritual manner, in a spiritual application, I mean. Look with me now in Acts 27, verse 23 through 25. We're almost done. Bible says in 23, For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Do you see what Paul said there? As he's on that boat, and that boat is about to crash. He knows it. He sees it. He sees it coming ahead. He already warned Julius. He said, I am still serving God. Can you say that tonight? Can you honestly tell me, Brother Carlos, I know I'm going through a storm in life. I know our church is going through some ups and downs, but brother, you got me. I'm serving God. Why? Because I belong to Jesus and I'm here to please him. That's what Paul said. Look at 24, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Brother and sister, this will be the glue to keep your marriage together, your family in Christ together, your church membership together, your work in the church together, when you personally believe God will do what he promised, that's what's going to keep you going. But unless you stay in the ship, you might not make it swimming on your own. Look at verse 31 for a little spiritual nugget lesson. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. What's a spiritual application there, lesson? Storms of life will come. Difficulties and challenges at work, in your home life, church members, the devil will do everything permitted him to do against you to destroy your walk with God by influencing you to doubt and to stop trusting God. He might even use your own family members or other Christians to influence you to want to give up on your calling with us here at this church or in your individual walk. When all those things begin to arise, brother and sister, here's what you need to do. If you're married here tonight, you need to take a deep breath, husband. You need to get a hold of that wife's hand of yours, and you need to tell her, wife, I believe God. We will not quit on God. We will not quit on our pastor because the Bible is our authority. For those of you who are single tonight, you know what you need to do? You need to put your hand on that Bible. You need to get your other hand and lift it up to heaven and pray and tell God, God, I believe your word. I will not quit on you. I will not quit on my church, no matter what storms the devil might bring my way. You get good doctrine here, brethren. You get good counsel. I didn't say that we're perfect, but you have good men teaching you the Bible here from a perfect Bible to help you, who's committed his life to serving you. So what I want to leave you with, trust God. And let me to continue to help you. Those online pastors you listen to and watch, they're just teachers with good and cool video effects and likes that people just follow and the algorithms help you out on YouTube. They are not here with you or for you, a phone call away to minister to you like I am or my wife is as a helper in the ministry. I tell other churches when I go and visit and fellowship with them, I do not replace your pastor. I am a mutual support, like a supplement, if you will. You better not entertain me outside of this man, because that's the man that God has placed in your life to help you. So tonight, what can I leave you with? Look at what Paul said there. We'll read a few verses and we'll close in prayer. The angel was sent by God to tell Paul, Paul, you're going to make it. Verse 24. Paul, everybody's going to make it. No one's going to die. Go ahead and tell him. And you know what that brought within Paul's life in that moment? Cheer. Look at verse 25. But what did Paul say before them all? I believe God even as it was told me. We're going to finish now. We don't have time to go back through all the details and the ship ripping here and the water beginning to get in there, the waves of the sea. You guys can imagine. You know what a storm looks like. We recently had a little bit over here in Oceanside, right? You guys know what that looks like. But go down all the way to the end. Look at verse number 44. The rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. When Christ comes for the church, he will. My question to you is, are you going to be sinking, or are you going to be making it on the board? Are you going to make it on that piece? Are you going to trust God, or are you going to doubt God? If you trust God, he'll take you all the way. He'll make sure that you're physically alive so that way you can be used to glorify his name by telling someone about Jesus, being a better church member, helping your church grow. But if you don't trust God, don't be surprised why you don't make it. You end up sinking. But brother, you'll make it. Sister, you'll make it. It may be on a little piece of a board. You may have a life jacket and you're floating, but you made it. In other words, when that storm comes, Christ didn't tell you the climate. He didn't tell you the weather. He just told you, follow me. I'll do the rest. I'll keep you okay. I'll keep you happy. I'll keep you joyful when your pastor offends you, when that church member offends you, when it doesn't seem like everything's going all right. I'll keep you joyful. You just got to keep following me. That's what Paul did, and he made it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the word of God tonight. A lot of it is just history. A lot of it is just rehearsing, God, what you've done through your great, great men of God that we read about in the our little church, and may you continue to use us as vessels to glorify your name. Use every single one of us tonight, God. Keep us healthy enough so you could use our lips to share the gospel with someone. You can use the money you've given us to invest in our church to help people come to saving faith. Use us, God, as you see fit. We are in your hands. We thank you, Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you. Thank you for coming tonight. Hope that was a blessing to you. May the Lord bless you. Please, guys, drive home safely. And Lord willing, we'll see you guys this Friday. Amen. May the Lord bless.